Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Stop yet. I appreciate the youth, amen. And I tell you, we got wonderful contributions to the services here at Christian Temple through the brothers and sisters, children, parents, and teachers. This is a body ministry, amen. I thank God for the family of God here and their investments into the kingdom and many things. Amen. There's a lot of things that are taking place in this little church. A lot of things taking place outside the doors that are influenced by this little church. And even, again, in other countries and different things. A man that is affiliated with us through the endeavors and efforts of a brother that has been walking with us for many years, Brother Jean-Claude Makoka. A pastor, Theopolis, has passed away yesterday morning. Numbered himself with us as under the headship of Christian Temple Ministerial Association in our African office there out of the Republic of Congo. So we sent finances over this morning to help with the funeral arrangements and stuff. And just be in prayer for Brother Makoka as he's going over. Try to remember him in prayer and call his name out. Brother, there's a lot of ministries that lean on Christian Temple in the United States and even other places, and they call. I find myself fellowshipping pastors, brethren, seasoned men of God that absolutely I marvel sometimes the things that we teach here, which would be almost considered elementary to us. They've never seen them or scratched even the surface of them things. Amen. There's times that they find fault with us over the littlest things. We're going to try to take a little time tonight to some of you that have been indoctrinated and seasoned. Some of these things will seem like maybe elementary, but you know, you need to listen, because sometimes you've been hearing something for years and then one day it's enlightened to you in the spirit and all of a sudden you'll see it totally 100% differently. Wednesday night spoke about death in three different dimensions. Very simple. We've been teaching on these things for years. But it was laid out a little bit differently on Wednesday night. And hopefully it helped you to differentiate and discern and look at some things a little differently. People don't understand that they could be guilty and not make it into the kingdom for being a murderer. And they wouldn't step on a bug. But then yet, and another man never had a drop of alcohol in his life and stand before the Lord as a drunkard. You know, drunkenness in your world is a man that drinks so much that he's lost self-control. He says stupid things and stumbles around and makes a mess out of things and gets in trouble. Well, in the spiritual world, when you're drunk on the affairs of this world, you're just as belligerent and ignorant as a drunk man. And you're drunk on yourself, your own deceits and lust. And it's a terrible thing to see. Amen. So we're continually always differentiating dimensions. You know, a man in this world says, you know, hey, I've been faithful to my wife. I'm not an adulterer. I love my wife. I never would have a relationship, but then yet you stand before the Lord as an adulterer, and it says no adulterer will enter into his kingdom. But the adultery that has been committed, brothers and sisters, would be having a love for this world and the things of the world, or possibly looking on a woman, the Bible says. And you know, many times when we're differentiating there, you got to be careful what you're even thinking of that when you're looking upon a woman. You're looking upon the things of the flesh, brethren. The ministry of the revelation of Jesus Christ, the ministry of Little Bethlehem, was not about Brother George Pike. He was the headship of it, but he pointed us toward the revelational truths and doctrines. The ministry here at Christian Temple, or Christian Temple Ministerial Association, you know, you say, well, you're the founder, the foundation of it. No, Christ is. I was sent forth by Brother Pike, and I'm doing my best that I know, brethren. I don't have the depths or the measure that man had. I've seen many people that think they do. But I listen just for a little bit, and I watch, brethren. And you cannot and will not ever be able to imitate the virtue of God. And I'm going to tell you something. When you find a man that's got the revelation of Jesus Christ, you will, thus saith the Lord, find virtue in his life. And virtue and power come together. Amen. And you will see that. I've seen young people get filled with the Holy Ghost with the divine virtue of the Lord and the power of his holiness coming forth from them, and very unknowledgeable. But I'm telling you, retained knowledge is your biggest enemy. But without knowledge, you'll perish. See, get a hold of that one. See, we're always differentiating. And you haven't learned to apply the knowledge of God. I was listening to a message of Brother Pike today, and he said, every single Christian man and woman has all of the gifts of the Spirit in their life, but they don't ever utilize them. You know, and some people think, well, you know, praise God, brother, I got the gift of healing. Hallelujah. Yeah, man, praise the Lord. And, amen. You know, I got the gift of tongues. Well, happy are you, amen. You know, I've been spent an hour and a half on the phone, which I mentioned some things about going on in Arkansas, with a seasoned man of God and a pastor. And there would be a lot of complications and problems. This had nothing to do. The problems has nothing to do with my son. It has to do with doctrine. And the thing is that the things that are ever so simplistic, they never see them. They've never been trained to look. You've heard me use the explanation, brothers and sisters, of flatline religion. They look at everything that pertains to me, to the flesh, benefits my life, and everything they think about is in their humanistic physical realm. Amen? That's all they think about. But brethren, I'm going to tell you something. There's such a beautiful world, amen, that you won't see with your eyes. Amen. Maybe that'll be some of the things we're going to try to speak about this evening. Amen. I know that the brethren are tuned in via FM radio, the Holy Ghost radio station. Amen. Brother Pike's been playing all day today on it, pumping in the revelation of Jesus Christ and the words of wisdom, revelation, and understanding have been going forth. Amen. They're tuned in now live tonight in our services here at Christian Temple. We'll greet you in the name of the Lord. We got a dear brother, Brother Scott Brown, tuned in with us tonight also with his companion. Found him a really nice young lady, and it looks like they're progressing along in the doctrine of holiness. Amen. And considerations, and he might beat me up if I start unveiling the things that he's fallen in love with this lady and considering marriage. That's supposed to be his part tell, so I'm not going to talk about that, okay? And what are you laughing about? No. Amen. But you know, brethren, the thing is what brings people together isn't looks, It isn't like in the same kind of worldly things. The only thing that could make a successful marriage is coming into the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ and thinking the same according to doctrine. Amen. And when you fall in love with somebody and you can't get them to conform to doctrine with you, your marriage is not going to be happy, nor is it going to work. Amen. And the thing is, you say, well, I go to a church that's in right doctrine. Well, maybe you don't have ears to hear. Amen. There's an order in the house of God with man, woman, and children and parents and headship, amen, in every household. So the thing is, some of the things that we're going to try to speak about here a little bit this evening, try to listen and hear. It takes multiplied hours and hours. Some of these young people come in and boy, they got a hold of it and they got it. They'll scare me because as fast as they got it, they'll lose it just as quick, amen. This is something that the Apostle Paul went on the backside of the desert for 3.5 years, shut in with God. Amen. And when he come out, he said, all my learning is done. Yes. Amen. So don't get arrogant and haughty about what you think you know. Amen. I tell you, the revelation of Jesus Christ will do one thing to you. It'll never puff you up. It'll humble you. It will catch you up, but it won't puff you up. A caught up man, amen, is totally different than a puffed up man. But a caught up man is humble. And he walks in the fear of the Lord. Amen. He's admonished of the Lord on a daily basis. Amen. Let's pray while we're standing. Most gracious Father, we thank you. We love you. We worship you, Lord God. This is your house. This is your people. This is your service, Lord God. I'm the least of all that are present, Lord God. And I thank you for your word. And Father, I humble myself before you, Lord God, knowing nothing, Lord God, but knowing that I do have your spirit, Father. I'm assured of one thing, that you've granted me eternal life, Lord God. And I worship and I praise you, Lord God. It isn't about what I know or what measure I'm in, but it's about delivering the simplicity of your gospel, Lord God, that people could perceive, comprehend, and understand, Lord God, the height, depths, widths, and lengths of your word, that they can grow thereby in your grace and your knowledge, Lord, and learn how to overcome this world and conquer the biggest enemy of all, their carnal mind. Father, we thank you, we praise you, and say, have your way tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated this evening. But again, I want to commend all of you. We got a powerful church here, an awesome church, a wonderful family of God that's walking in unity. Amen. As my son made a statement in a group of men in the work, he said, well, the Bible says that you know you've passed from death unto life because you love the brethren. And he was told, he said, well, you're taking that scripture out of context. Amen. Well, I don't know what out of context is, but I know I love the brethren. Amen. Amen. And I believe the word of God. And I see when people love one another and they're the family, then God binds them together in the bond of charity. Amen. And that's a very, very important thing. Let's start out over here this morning. I'm going to do quite a bit of scriptures this evening and get Brother Chuck and Brother Billy back there to be putting some things up on the board for me and things. And I'm going to talk about some things that are simplistic to you, but sometimes people do not take enough time in learning differentiation. And I know that seems like that is a very big part of what we try to minister here. But I'm telling you, there's so many things that people come against us with because they have not learned to differentiate, brethren. And maybe some of the scripture references tonight, as we go along, we can progress through if you give me adequate time. Maybe it'll get us into a mind of thinking differently. I had a seasoned pastor that I heard was speaking against my pastor, Brother Pike, and including myself, and saying that we stand before the people teaching that we are God. Amen. Well, brethren, you know, the thing is I don't recommend for you to go out here talking to people or me being on live internet or going into the prisons, things, and tell people I'm God. Brethren, I know who I am. I'm a man appointed unto death. And it's appointed for all men to die. Amen. But then yet I got to stay with the scriptures and the word of God. And maybe we could deal with this a little bit in subject matter tonight as we speak. But brethren, the thing is, it's appointed to all men to die and the judgment and to go back to the dust and perish. So if you want to continue to stay in your mind that you're a man, then you're going to die as a man and you'll perish and find yourself in hell. Amen. Hell wasn't created for you, Mr. or Mrs. or man. It wasn't created for you. It was created for these fallen angels that were cast out of heaven. But the thing is that man is going to be predestined with one of those They're going to be with the fallen angels or with the angel of the Lord. Amen. So you're going to be numbered with one. You're either going to have your father, which you have a spirit crying, Abba, Father, or you're going to have another one where your father is the devil because you yield your life to the members of the beggarly elements of this world. So there is in the second dimension or the second heaven, in the soul realm, in the warfare realm, in the fighting realm, there's decisions being made. Who are you yielding to? Who are you fighting with? If I drop you over into a foreign country and I say you're either going to join up with the U.S. forces for peace and liberty and for freedom, or you could join up with the ISIS for bondage and death and destruction. So the thing is, choose what army you're going to serve in. Amen. I choose today my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, those are simple thoughts, but we do have to yield. And what we're yielding to is what we are. If you keep yielding to the beggarly elements of the world and the lust of the world and the pride of life, then you are of your father, the devil. So we're teaching differentiation here, yes. But man, again, is appointed to death. And the only thing that's eternal is God. See, Satan is the god of this world. You got to realize that he is something that's got to be dealt with through all of eternity because he's eternal. He's a god. So the thing is, he's the god of this world, and there's a place prepared for him called the lake of fire. It wasn't created for man, but it was created for him. But when you yield to him, then you're going to find that destiny with him because you're married unto him. But if you find yourself married unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you become one with him. As the Apostle Paul said, I show you a mystery, that when the man and woman marry, they become one in the flesh. So you being the bride of Christ, you become one with him. In the flesh is a very important term right there. When we think of flesh, we think of corruption. But then we got to differentiate flesh. And we'll start differentiating flesh. And the thing is all flesh is feminine. So we have a flesh in the first dimension, the beast flesh, fish flesh, the Bible goes on to say. And it goes on to even talking about celestial flesh. So the celestial flesh is not a corruptible flesh. Amen? So there is a flesh that is corruptible, and there's another one that is incorruptible. The one that's incorruptible is only for the simple fact is it went through the metamorphosis or the transfiguration. Now, these things, brethren, are doctrine. It's all in the Word of God. I have not stepped outside the bounds of the Word. Amen. These are biblical terminologies when you think of translation, transformation, and transfiguration. They find fault with us in the Revelation when we use terminology sometimes, but then yet the church world uses terminologies as Trinity or Millennium and things as such, and they have no biblical word for that. They do have some foundational structure of thought for when we say triune and we say Father, Word, Holy Ghost, but our Bible teaches these three are one, and where they leave the foundation of the Word is when they make it three persons, when the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. So we got to stay with the Word. The thing is, brethren, where we got to be cautious and careful, as I was speaking with a man of God here in the last few days, and I said, brethren, I said, we do have to stay with the tradition of the elders. Now, there are things that you may not agree with, but again, you hear me use a foundational doctrine, if eating meat offends my brother, don't eat it. Amen. So the thing is, I'm a meat eater. But then yet I have enough self-control over what I do with my life that if it's going to offend somebody, I could stay away from it. Now, that's a doctrinal thing because meats were a problem, especially after the sheet came down with Peter there on the rooftop there at the Cornelius home. When this sheet came down, brethren, he knew that these things that were made unclean. They were made clean, and he was able to meet. This is why that is a doctrine that's used for a foundation in the writing of the scriptures in the early years of the church. So today, meat isn't really an object, but we use it as a scriptural foundation. In other words, if growing my fingernails out long as a woman offends my brethren because of the tradition of elders, cut your fingernails. If the polish is offensive to my brothers, don't polish your fingernails. The Bible said it's abomination for a woman to wear man's apparel. Amen. So don't wear man's apparel, sister. Amen. The Bible teaches and we understand about where makeup came from out of Egypt with the charcoal and things. And the thing is, the Bible said the woman to be shamefaced, not to project their image. Makeup projects and it highlights things and stuff and makes the woman, you know, more glamorous to look at. It's not supposed to be that way. They should be shamefaced. Amen. again. So these are things we do. I don't beat people up. I meet women that love the Lord with all their heart, and they may have a little paint and powder on. You say, are you making allowances for that? No, I'm not making allowance for unlearned people. But here in Christian Temple, the church sisters have learned that we're going to line up with the Word of God in the Scriptures. The Bible said that me, as a pastor of the fivefold ministry, is sent for the perfecting of the saints. So the thing is a lot of people ain't being perfected in these religious denominational church world, and many of their pastors are devils. The Bible teaches very clearly that the ministers of Satan have transformed themselves into these ministers of light or righteousness. So again, I'm not in a dispute with them, but I am in a continual warfare, fighting against principalities and powers and these kind of things. So brethren, I understand where the war is and where the struggle is. I still got to preach the Word of God. I'm not trying to offend people, brethren. And, you know, just because you think you have the liberty to put the paint and the makeup on and stuff like that, I say work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But in this work, I keep an order in this work, and I will not allow women on my platform in such a way. You know, we do believe that the woman's hair shows her glory. Amen. So the thing is that we understand that, you know, that a woman isn't to be shorn or shaven. Amen. So we teach that a woman's hair should be upon their shoulders. Amen. And this becomes a tradition. If you say, well, you know, according to the Bible, they can't shave it or shear it off, but, you know, they can wear it short. Well, I think it gets into a thing of God doesn't like women to look like men or men to look like women. Amen. He uses a term I think I could pronounce probably, but effeminate. And that is a word that a man is not supposed to be feminine and things, and I don't think a woman should be masculine. And you know, when they're taking and changing in our culture, and they're trying to take and remove the men and the boys and the girls clothing or boys and girls toys, you know, I remember when I was a boy, my mother got me a G.I. Joe, and it upset my father. He said, dolls are for girls. These are boys. You say, well, I'm not in agreement with that. Well, you do it your way. He done it his way. Amen. But I see that maybe Dad had a revelation back in the 50s. Amen. And in the 60s, thinking I see too much boys that ain't learning to be men. So maybe he had something, no carnal-minded man. You know, but that's not my dispute here. But what I'm saying, I think little girls should act like little girls, dress like little girls, talk like little girls, and they're supposed to be a little bit soft. Little boys are supposed to be a little bit tough, amen, like little Levi and like little Austin here. Little Austin, man, he's like a bulldog, I mean, and he rolls out there in the asphalt. If it was a little girl, she'd still be crying because he makes me cry. I've seen him take a spill on his bike out here and roll and somersault and pop out, and I'm ready to get the bandage kit and everything, and Bandy's back on the bike going again. See, that's what boys are supposed to be. Amen. I was called over here to the council of the school one day because a couple boys was having a little wrestling match out there, and the sisters are thinking, we got to stop this. I say, man, they're boys, let them go. Amen. And we might have crossed the line there. Amen. We got to be careful. Amen. I'm just telling you. Amen. I remember my father reproving my wife for having my son doing dishes. And, you know, we're not going to go on that one. We're going to leave that one lay here. Amen. And I know how to do a lot of things around the house, but I still haven't learned to use the washing machine. Amen. And fix airplanes, fly them, and drive tractor trailers and run equipment and backhoe stuff. But man, that washing machine is just slap over my head. Amen. That's called chosen ignorance there. Amen. I had to get Chuck to help me one day. I said, amen, I don't know what to do here. So, all right, I'm repenting and we're going into the Word now. Let's turn over to Ephesians 3:16. Amen. Or 3:14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. I want you to take note of this for just a moment. In the inner man. If there's an inner man, there must be an outer man. We got plenty of Bible, and we can go to many doctrines there. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints which is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Where's the power working at? Amen. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, World without end, amen. Worlds without end, amen. Worlds without end. But the Bible said that the heaven and earth passeth away in one place. And another place it said that the earth abideth forever. Which one are you going to believe? You say that's a contradiction in the word. Absolutely not. You see, this is why people stumble and get into doctrinal errors, because they think in one flatline dimension. And when they see the Lord Jesus Christ and speaking about the Father, they say there must be another person somewhere. Amen. And then he's talking about sending another one back to us called the Holy Ghost. And they think, well, there must be another third person there somewhere. But Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The Father is invisible, brethren. Invisible. Invisible. Persons are visible. Amen. Now the thing is the word person through over the years, amen, has made modifications and changes. But the original rendering of person is something carnal. Something that is relative to this earth. You see, the Father, the Spirit, is not relative to this earth because he's not relative to corruption. It's the eternal Spirit. But you as a man think of everything tangible and everything that you see with these eyes. But faith doesn't see with the eyes of the 22 conductive nerves that record the vibrations. Faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. Let's go on just for a moment here. I want to now turn over in Romans 7. And we're going to read a little bit there likewise. We're going to read down to verse 22, but I believe we'll start at about 16. It says, if then I do which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it. And here's a man speaking about actions taking place in him, saying it's not I. So if I say I'm a God, I'm saying it's not I. Amen. If I say that I'm wretched, it's not I. We're differentiating. You say, well, where do you take this saying? I took it to the cross of Calvary is where I took it to. And now I stand with him. So we're talking about a mind of revelation, a mind of understanding. Amen. Heights, depths, widths, and lengths. Okay, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then, if it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Can I hear an amen? Can I hear an oh me? Amen. Oh me. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, that is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. We got to be careful what we're reading here. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Okay? After the inward man. Okay? But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Now, we got to be careful reading this passage of scriptures, because this scripture, just like it teaches us in Romans 6, it says, you know, where sin abound, grace that much more so. And it says, will we continue on in sin? It said, God forbid. Now, he's speaking a differentiated understanding here. There is a law that lays within the members of your flesh that is continually wanting you to consent to the things of this world, the things of your mind, the things of your heart, the things of your desires. Again, we so often say, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, that thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Can I be equal with God? Could I come to such a place by being bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh and married unto him? You see, a woman becomes equal to her husband through marriage, amen. I become equal with God through marriage, but I can't go above him. When the woman goes above her husband, it's an abomination in this world. And when we do it in the mind of Christ as the bride, we try to think, hey, I got this thing under control. I'm not going to listen to you. I know you want me to do it this way, but let me tell you, I got this thing worked out. Many Christian people do that, brethren. It's rebellion. It is the sin of witchcraft. You shall perish and you shall die. Amen. So again, here we are. I talk to you as the bride of Christ. Okay, what is the bride of Christ? Feminine. And you say, okay, I'm the bride. Well, the Bible said the woman to be silent in the church. Can't assert authority over man. I'm not pastoring as the bride of Christ. It would be a violation of the word. I'm pastoring this church as a son of God. And yet, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Amen. So here we are talking about why people don't understand doctrines and things that we teach. Because they don't know how to do what I'm continually trying to teach you and yield you to do is in the mind of differentiation. Let's put on the Bible here 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter and the 16th verse. Amen. 4:16. This is a very common passage of scriptures to us. Amen. But I do want to read these things for a purpose. Amen. I'm going to go all the way back up to 12. We're going to come down to 16. Let's go to 12 here. It says, so then death worketh in us, but life in you. Differentiating again, life and death. Amen. We have the same spirit of faith according as it is written. I believed and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Hallelujah. Amen. For all things are for your sakes. All things. Remember that. All things are for your sakes. That the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Differentiating between an inner and an outer man. The inner man is not relative to the world, brethren. He's not relative to the corruption. Amen. As a man was coming against my pastor, saying he's teaching the people that he's God. See, they just misunderstand him. He's a very humble brother, very humble man, with love, helping people around the world, giving his life as a sacrifice, amen, to denying his family, his children of many things and privileges as he sacrificed to get the gospel around the world. He lived and built up a beautiful work in Georgia, a beautiful place. I went into his home, and I was there for the last 5.5 years of the brother's life. And his kitchen floor, the linoleum in front of the sink, was wore slap out from where his wife stood at the sink doing dishes. The linoleum was totally gone. And then the plywood was being layered down in, of the top layers of the plywood being layered in. Went into his bathroom to do some remodeling, and as we were trying to demo it before we could go in, the floor caved all the way through, and the toilet and tub, we crashed in down into the thing. And you say, that sounds terrible. No, it sounds like a man that was making sacrifices to get the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world. Amen. He didn't want people to spend any finances on him. He wanted to pump it all back into the gospel. Amen. He gave automobiles away and everything away. And he said, why do you have a nice home here? If you had a couple few hours for me to explain what took place in the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ and what High Point, North Carolina, and this area right here in Sophia, where we're at, and Mount Gilead Road, it would take me quite a bit of time to explain what this has to do with. And it has none to do with me. It has to do with you. So you better trust and hope that there's something prospering and being blessed in the earth. Amen. So the thing is there was pioneers that took and put some deep footprints in the ground and done some things, amen, that we could take the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they plowed the fields and took the brunt of a lot of pain to get the gospel that we preach forth. Amen. I'm thankful to be under such great people of God. Amen. I guess I read down here to 16. It says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen. Now listen to me. While we look not at the things, we've talked about this, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. So you need to, the Bible's telling me to look at the things that aren't seen. Well, how can I see something not seen? The Bible said that we walk by faith, not by sight. The Bible said that faith is invisible. Come on now. But it brings something forth that is visible. Amen? Now, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal. Your riches are temporal. Your flesh is temporal. Your strength is temporal. Your eyesight. All these things are temporal because it's relative to the earth and to sin and the corruption of this world. Amen? The body wasn't created that way for corruption. It wasn't created to die. But because sin came in, amen, a curse came in of death. Amen? Thank God. The message we preached Wednesday night about the abolishing of death. So we rend the veil and I say, I can't die. Somebody, they say they put you in a box. You say, man, you're a liar, preacher. My pastor taught a doctrine. He could not die. Amen. Because he passed from death and life. He went to sleep. See, people don't understand that. Well, he's dead because there's no breath. And again, as you hear me say, sometimes I could have a man standing here in the presence of me and I could say he's twice dead. I say, I'm twice born. I've been born again. So if I've been born again and this man's standing before me, he's twice dead. People say, well, I don't understand that. I do understand the heights, depths, widths, and lengths, and this is why I'm teaching. You got to get out of your elementary doctrines. You got to get out of your little Baptist and Catholic doctrines where you go to church and you play games and sit down to eat and rise up and play. We got to get founded in doctrine, founded in the Word. We got to press our way into the kingdom, and we've got to learn to fight against the principalities and powers of darkness through your carnal mind. And Satan wants to take your carnal mind and puff you up in your denominational doctrines and make you think that you know something when you got your little diapers on and you need to unpin your little diaper and paddle your hind in. Amen. And that was said with all love. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I had a call from the prison today and the brother said, man, Brother Rob, you wore me out on Wednesday night. And I said, I did. And I said, how did I do that? And he said, man, you was hitting them tattoo artists real hard. And I said, that was Char. And he said, yeah. And I said, I hope that's past tense. Amen. I tell you, there ain't no son of God, no child of God that would ever be writing on nobody's body. Amen. They understand what the mark of the beast is. Amen. You saying a guy gets inked up, that's the mark of the beast. No, it's just an allegory to it. That's all it is. Amen. Hallelujah. You love the Lord tonight? You say, you against tattoos? I'm against paint and powder and tattoos and earrings and jewelry and broided up hair, plaited up hair. I'm against a lot of things because it doesn't taught in my Bible. We're supposed to be a peculiar people, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood is what we're supposed to be. And everything we do should be pointing to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, let's go on here just for a minute. Go ahead and put Hebrews 11:1 up on the board here. You can put it up here in the street. But this is, again, just speaking of some scripture to give a little reference of what we're speaking about here this evening. Hebrews 11:1 up here. It says, now faith is the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I know we speak about this, and there's many ways of interpreting many things. But, brethren, a substance is something tangible. Is that correct? Faith is a substance, something tangible, but it's not seen. The things that are tangible are seen. So how does that make any sense? That's what we got to learn to think about. But the thing is, brethren, if I say that by his stripes I'm healed, I'm speaking by faith, I need something tangible. If the doctor gives me a death sentence and says, dude, you're dying. You see, when Lazarus was dead in the ground, Jesus spoke by faith. He said, no, he still lives. He's alive. They said, no. He's not extinct by now. But see, he spoke something, and they didn't see something tangible. They didn't see a substance of that. They said, man, he's dead. But he spoke by faith, and then it came to something tangible, didn't it? Something is a substance. It became made. That's how you know your faith is real and your faith is alive. Well, I got faith that I'm born again. Well, if you got faith that you're born again, it means you've received God's Spirit. God's Spirit is power. Amen. God's Spirit brings you out of the world. He said, go and tarry there until you're endued with power. Amen. You know, the Pentecostals have created this doctrine, you know, that, you know, I get saved through a confession and then the power of God is something different, another gift altogether, whatever. And that's okay. But my Bible teaches me that without his Spirit, you're none of his. Amen. You don't receive his Spirit through knowledge. You receive revelation through knowledge. But brethren, let me tell you, when you have the Spirit of revelation will come to you when you're walking in the obedience of Christ. Amen? But otherwise, we find a substitute of the revelation of Jesus Christ through knowledge, and we've taken and climbed up through the tree of knowledge, and we speak about knowledge thinking that we're fooling ourselves that we've got revelation. It doesn't work that way, brethren. I've seen many men a lot bigger and smarter and sharper and more powerful than you'll ever be. Amen. Fall into the same hideous trap. Brother Pike had many seasoned men of God that were under him, sat with him, traveled with him, went around the world, and they fell in a puffed up knowledge, thinking too highly of themselves, thinking that they knew something when the Bible said they didn't know what they ought to know. And a man's ways right in his own eyes is what the Bible says. And when you think you're right and your ways are right, beware, my brother. You're standing for one hideous, terrible crash and fall, and you won't be the first bloodied up mess on the side of the Jericho Road that I've walked across and picked up and tried to bandage up. Brother Pike today speaking in a message. He had a minister come, arrogance and haughty, and come to his church and this and that. Brother Pike tried to work with him, and he said, the man's going to crash. The man's going to burn because the haughty spirit comes before the fall. Why do you think you, my friend or brother, could be so arrogant, so haughty in your revelations and in your little Bible retention? Amen. Because everyone that ever has been is crashed and fall. And Brother Pike spoke that this would, and the man came back around about 2 years later and lost everything. His church, his home, his family, everything in his arrogance and haughtiness. And Brother Pike said, now there's something that maybe can be used. Amen. A broken, contrite spirit. Amen. So brethren, you know, it's better. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen. Hallelujah. Again, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Brethren, you say that the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. And without faith, it'll be imputed to you as sin. So with no faith, sin imputing to sin is death. So you have never passed from death unto life unless there's faith. Amen. And let me tell you something. You think you're going to impress this preacher with your substance that you call knowledge? Amen. That's the same thing that the serpent deceived Eve with, right there with the tree of knowledge right there in the midst of the garden. So your knowledge isn't going to set a snare for me. Amen. I'm not impressed. Amen. I'm not impressed with your gifts. I'm not impressed with your tongues, your dancing, your shouting, or with your prophecy. It doesn't move me. I used to think when I first met Brother Pike, I thought, man, this guy is disconnected from the world, man. I watched men fall on their face before him, bawling and weeping with tears puddling up on the ground. And he would sit there and just like, I wish you'd hurry up and dry this crocodile tears up before we can go and do something for God. And I think, man, this man is heartless. Amen. But see, he'd been around a long time, brother, and he's seen all of the fleshly emotions of man, all their snotting and crying, and he's seen the fake humility and the laughter and all those things, and he wasn't moved by the inspirations nor the emotions or the compassion of mankind. He was a man that the Bible said is led by the Spirit of God. Walked in the Spirit and led by the Spirit. Flattery didn't touch him. Flattery didn't move him. It grieved his spirit. When you tried to tell him, you know, how great he was, he didn't like it for one moment at all. Amen. And I tell you, it was a powerful blessing for me to be able to sit under such an awesome and great man of God. Amen. I would hope to think that I could come into the smallest amount of measure of such a wonderful brother as that, and maybe I could help catch a soul out of the flames of hell. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says again that we walk by faith, not by sight. So we're speaking here about some of the things we're reading about, things that are unseen and things that are seen. As we just read in the scriptures here, the things that are seen, those things are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal. You as a man have been trained to see through the eyes, again, of the natural vibration of what you see, what you touch, what you feel, what you think, what your education allows you, and you'll die like a man, and you will perish in your carnal mind, which is enmity with God and death. So what you have to learn to do, brothers and sisters, again, is walk by faith. Amen. Not by sight. You got to learn to see beyond the veil of the temporal body and see beyond that thing of the mortal flesh of humanity and mankind and see into the spirit world. Then you could start speaking about having the spirit of revelation. Amen. Now, with all that said, I just laid a little bit of a foundation to what I'd like to speak about for just a moment tonight. Amen. Because these are some foundational truths where people find fault with us. How many have been involved in churches? And we could do a slight lift of hand or whatever. How many even know? I mean, even the apostolic doctrine is supposed to be the cream of the crop of the Pentecostals and different things. I'm not here to beat up anybody. How many have heard that you are a sinner and you sin every day? Anybody ever heard that? That's a common Baptist doctrine, but I'm sad it's infiltrated into the Pentecostal realms and the Pentecostal churches. Amen? Now, I want them put on my Bible here and up on the screen. I want to go over to 1 John, and we're going to go down to verse 8. 1 John 8. Amen? I could quote it, but we're going to put it on the board for you to know that we're bringing forth the Word of God. We're going to read 1 John 8, verse John 1, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin... I have no sin, brethren. Oh, my pastor, come on. Now listen to me. But it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. That the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Now, I've heard that passage of scriptures preached at me and spoke to me over and over again because I preach a doctrine that I cannot sin. Now, without a revelational understanding of the doctrine that we teach here, you would think that the Bible contradicts itself. Now, I just took plenty of time to talk to you about the scriptures of some things are seen, some things are unseen. The Lord Jesus, when his disciples asked him, he said, it isn't for some to know. They'll never see good when good comes. It's hid from the wise and the prudent. Amen? So am I going to teach something contrary to this? Absolutely not. Brethren, I was born in sin, shapen in iniquity. It's appointed to men to die because of sin. Okay? So the thing is that I was born into sin and I was a sinner. Amen? But then yet, if I believe the doctrine in the scriptures, then I was born again, if I am born again. You see, the born again man speaks different than the natural man. The inward man that's renewed day by day through the glory and the knowledge of God is got a profession of life and life abundant, life eternal, a life of no sin. But the outward man is born and shapen in iniquity. So I got to differentiate between these two. Now, if I take this man to a watery grave of baptism and I bury him in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, the Bible teaches me that I no longer live and now it's Christ that lives. So it's got to be something real. The Bible said if I die with him, I resurrect with him. And my Bible teaches me that I am a child of the resurrection. Amen? So what are you? I say this so oftentimes, the Apostle Paul made this statement. He made a statement, I would like to speak unto you as unto spirituals, not as unto carnal. So the thing is if you want me to speak unto you as carnal for a moment, I'm going to say, you know, brethren, I was born and shapen in sin. Man, I'm going to perish. For sin is the sting of death. Amen? So now, let's go over two chapters in this very same book. Amen? 1 John, the third chapter. Amen? All right, 1 John 3. I'm going to go ahead and start beginning in 3 here. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Got any us's here? That we should be called the sons of God. I had a Pentecostal preacher. I think Brother Pete was with me. He said, oh man, you know, I can't call myself a son of God. That just don't sound right. I'm thinking, really? Amen? Beloved, now we are the sons of God. Now. But see, most people think that well, I got to die, Brother Rob, to become a son of God. You're exactly right. But I already died. I've been crucified with Christ. The only death that I will ever die is the death that I died with my Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. And the life of the new creature, the born again, the inward man, is eternal in the heavens. Nothing could be laid to its charge. Nothing could touch it. It is eternal, or Christ's labors were in vain at Calvary. Amen. And his labors weren't in vain. The last enemy of God was to be abolished was death. He abolished death by coming forth, brethren, in the resurrection. And that brought me forth in the resurrection. This is why he said, greater things will you do than what I done. Because when he came forth in the resurrection, he gave us his spirit. The same spirit that dwelled within him dwells within our mortal body. The world sees this as a mortal body. And the spirit of all eternity, the spirit of life, the Alpha and Omega lives within me. Hallelujah. He speaks, he talks, he has his reign, and he moves within this vessel if we will yield it to him. Amen. If we don't yield it, then it comes under the correction rod. Amen. It's the woman at that point that isn't submitting to the headship. Amen. The headship is Christ. Amen. And I submit, and he has his way within my life. I'm yielded to him. Amen. When I lean to my own mind and my own understanding, it could be considered as the abomination of desolation. Me making myself to be God, standing in the temple, making myself God in the flesh as a man. Amen. I'm not making myself God as a man. The man has perished and died and buried in the watery grave in the sea of forgetfulness with sin. Amen. And I am that new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. You may not see it because you don't have eyes to see. Jesus said when they looked at him, for what good works have I done that you want the stone? And he said, not for the good works that you've done, because you're mere man making yourself to be God. People call me a call because they say I'm a mere man. They call my pastor, Brother George, a call because he says a mere man making himself to be God. They just simply don't understand. When he died, they said he was a liar because he said he could not die. Amen. But he just went to sleep with the forefathers. Amen. And went to meet his reward by being absent from that body, being present with the Lord. But the carnal mind will never understand that because they look at things with these eyes. They don't walk by faith. Amen. So they see the things that are seen, and they judge everything for all of eternity by what they see. Amen. When they need to walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. Okay, let's continue on right here for just a moment more. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Do you realize that? If they don't know Brother Rob, they don't know him. Woo-hoo! Say, I knew you thought you was something. Hey, I'm a son of God. Amen. Amen. If you knew him, you'd know me. You remember the message I preached a few years ago? I said, you don't know who you are because you don't know who they are. And if you can't see your brother as a son of God, you'll never be a son of God yourself. Amen. If God can't forgive my brother, he can't forgive me. Amen. That's the way, if I think that he can't, then I just limited what he can do for me. What you do to the least of these, my brethren, is what you've done unto him. Amen. So the thing is I've done established I'm the least in his kingdom. Amen. So what you do unto me is what you do unto him. Amen. So if you don't like me, you got a real problem. You don't like him. You say, you can't say that. I just said that. Amen. So let's go on. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. So when they don't know you, they don't know him. That's simple. That's not complicated, brethren. Beloved, now, you know, we had an ignorant president named Bill Clinton. He went to courts because of his sexual filth, perversion, and immorality. They asked him a question, and he said, could you define is? And I'm thinking, my goodness, the president of our United States is standing before the courts of the law of this land, and he asked him to define is? So with that in mind, thinking it one of the highest offices to be held in our nation, and he was ignorant enough to not know what is means, so I'm going to take time to tell you what now means. Amen. Now isn't later. Now isn't yesterday. Now is I'm standing here before you, beloved, and I am a blood-bought, born-again child of the living God that has passed from death unto life. I'm eternal in the heavens, sealed in. Amen. Death has no hold on me because it's been abolished. I cannot die. Amen. And you know why I can't die? Because I cannot sin. If I could sin, then I would perish and die, because sin is the sting of death. But death, where is thy victory in grave? Amen. Come on, brethren. It's gone. It's been abolished by the works of Christ at Calvary. Amen. So now you know what now means. Now I'm eternal. Now I'm living forever. Now I'm a son of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And now I'm standing before people to bring the good news of what Jesus done for them. Amen. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's speaking of that body that's transfigured. But when he walked among men, he walked in the same kind of body that you have, but it had no sin in it because it didn't come through the loins of a man. Amen? But the thing is, it was still in the same sinful image of flesh as the body that he walked in. You understand that? It was that same mortal body that you're walking in. Amen? It was relative to this earth and to this thing. And he took it to the cross, amen, for you and I, that we would not have to die. And he abolished the death sentence that came upon mankind because of the fall. Amen? Now, let's go on just for a moment. Let me read verse 2 again. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Some have already seen him that way. When he descended off of the Mount of Olives, they said, why do you gaze here into the sky in like manner that you've seen him ascend? He's coming back in like manner. That's when he comes back to the Jew. They got to see him with the physical eye. But brethren, he has already came to you and I. Amen? He came to us. He promised to tarry until you're filled with the Holy Ghost. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, these three are one. That was the same Spirit that dwelled within Jesus Christ, brethren. The thing is that the Spirit of the Father being invisible, that no man has seen, and it came and personified itself in the Lord Jesus Christ and robed this invisible in the visible, that we could comprehend and see the attributes of God. And we can see those unmanifested reflexes of love come down and manifesting itself, and we could see what love is made known to be seen and understood and comprehended. He came in that image, amen, that we could see. It was the Father manifested in the flesh, robed in the flesh, amen. That's who you are today. God, the Word, made flesh in you. He said the same Spirit shall dwell in you that dwelled within his body. It said will dwell in your mortal body. Amen. The same Spirit. Brethren, the same Spirit that walked and brought good news to the people in that time 2,000 years, it's here today. He's here. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The church talks like 2,000 years ago he split. And just left us, and we just been down here getting beat up by the devil, and oh gosh, someday he's coming. Oh, praise God, he's coming, he's gonna come. Brethren, he's come, he's here, he's been here all the time. He's walking and living and having his reign, amen. Praise God. That's a deferred hope, and it's sick of the heart. That's why the whole world is falling away. And you say, but Brother Rob, don't you believe in the coming of the Lord? I am the coming of the Lord. You are the coming of the Lord because you're the body of Christ. Now, if you want to differentiate the body, soul, and spirit, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, the natural, physical, and spiritual, yes, Jesus is going to come back to this earth to set up rule on this earth. And if you're so carnal-minded that that's what you're waiting on, then you will go through the tribulation and have an earthly promise with the Jews because you're in the same unbelief that they're in. But if you could believe that he is, that God is now, and now you are a son of God, amen. If you could believe that now you are a son of God, that now you are walking in the power and the authority and the glory of God, that you've been filled with the Prince of Life and the power of his salvation, then you've passed from death unto life, amen. And that day that he shows up, you will be with him in a transfigured body, and they'll see you as what he is and the way he always was. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I can feel the quickening of that Spirit working on this body. Amen. Could it happen right now in the twinkling of an eye? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I think he approved of that message. Amen. Hallelujah. It isn't my message, it's his message. It's the message that began before the world ever was. Amen. He's the message. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, can I read verse 2 again as we ministered on it a second? And it's just again to vindicate his word. Amen. I'm the manifested word. This is the written word. Amen. You are the manifested word of God to be written epistles read and known of all men. Amen. And you say, why do you bring it to yourself? He brought it to us. He predestined me. I didn't seek him. He sought me out. I was having a good old time, man, back in the aviation business, and he come sought me out. Amen. He changed my world. Amen. I'm thankful. Man, praise God he picked me and chose me. I trust he chose you. Amen. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but doesn't change the fact that now we are. But see, they're looking at the vanity. I'm not looking at the vanity. I'm looking at eternity, the invisible, the unseen. I see beyond the veil of this flesh, and I see the eternal riches of God, the glory of the Lord. Amen. The royal priesthood and the chosen generation. Hallelujah. Come on, brethren. We got to learn to see beyond that. You want to look at man's weakness and stumbling, standing, and he'll defeat you and kill you. Because Satan is the accuser of the brethren, and you allow him to come in your mind and accuse and accuse and accuse just to puff you up. That's why he's going to puff you up. He's going to let you think that you're better than everybody, and you're going to get so puffed up that you're going to crash and crash big and crash hard. You won't be the first flesh smattered all over the Jericho road. Come on. Amen. But I'll be that good Samaritan. I'm going to come by and pick you up and bandage you up. Amen. Come on now. You say, come on, Brother Rob, you can't do that. I do it every day. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible said he'll make your enemies come lie down and be at peace with you. Amen. And I've had them come back down at the bandage wounds. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I wished, if the Lord allowed me, I might share with you about taking them two fruit trees out, what it has to do with Christian Temple Church. It might put some fear in some people here. It might put some fear in some people watching. Amen. Amen. Those trees were producing. That fruit tree over there in that corner produced so much fruit. It was the trees. I had boards out there holding on it. But sometimes through the carnal mind, they come up and piled up the bark way up too high up on the tree and caused root rot. Killed it out. I take the responsibility. Should have been oversighting better. But there's a great and powerful revelation. Amen. Take the axe and lay it to the root of the tree, the Bible said, and be cast in the fire. And they're out there in the fire waiting to be burned. Amen. Two trees, two having to do with the Gentiles, brothers and sisters. Amen. I could tell you about the ones that came along to help me. Amen. I could tell you about the phone calls that came from the prison at the very time. Godfrey was one of the calls while we were ripping the trees out. I had to shut the tractor off and talked with him. Amen. You know, there is some freedom in God. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. When that Gentile time comes to the end, the Jews are going to be restored back in. It's going to come back to the Jew, brother. Beautiful thing shows there. Has to do with the black man. And we got a black brother here, a couple of them, that's coming into our church, amen, representing the Jews being restored, amen, because of what High Point and Christian Temple Church has to do with. And again, the two is the Gentiles, and it shows this thing going out, amen. And then I got another call right at the very time from a man named Moon. Amen. And then I think about even the tractor that I was using that was gray, and the Lord allowed it to fire to show the flesh going through the fire and the things like that. And I knew that I shouldn't have painted it that way, even though it was a stock color. And I went and changed it to yellow, having to do with faith. Amen. So there's things that we're watching that are taking place. Amen. And again, Brother Moon has to do with the second dimension. Amen. Jesus came in that moon dimension, the second heaven, the reflection realm, right there. And he calls me right at this very, very time. Amen. And then I get a call from a black man to buy a devil from a woman named Grace. Amen. And the thing is we know that Grace has to do. And then I think about Jerry Lambert and his son, Quinn. Quinn has to do with five quintuplets, five having to do with Grace. And I'm thinking, well, here's Quinn, and he showed up. Matter of fact, but his son, Isaiah, showing that third. And Paul Stone, the third, happened to be there also right at the same time, out there taking an axe and laying it to the root of the tree. So I'm thinking, oh, Lord, you're doing something here. Amen. And it all has to do with that third pull is what it has to do with. Amen. So the thing is Christ is going to return to this earth to the Jew, brothers and sisters. But the church isn't waiting on that. The church is the coming of the Lord. The church is bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. The church, brethren, he is never left nor forsaken. He's never left their seed begging for bread. Amen. Why is the church so carnal that they're teaching people that we're waiting on the coming of the Lord? One thing I can say is to you and I, the Bible teaches us that, you know, that why we're in the travail in this flesh, and this flesh is going through those things. Yes, it teaches us that we will step forth from this mortal body, and it'll be changed from mortal to immortal. If you as the body of Christ are testifying that fact, say, brethren, man, praise God, I'm going to put this weak vessel down. I'm going to put this corruptible vessel down. This old house, pest house of corruption, this part where we just read about the Apostle Paul speaking, he said, you know, the things I want to do, I find myself, all that's going to be put down. You could testify about that in the transfiguration, but brother, you better be transforming your mind and thinking that way today. If you don't think like a son of God, you don't speak like a son of God, and don't profess like the Son of God, thus saith the Lord, you will never see the transfiguration of your body, or what the church world calls rapture. You will be left in this world if you happen to be the generation of people, and you will go through, and as of by fire, you'll go through the fire of tribulation. Amen. And you might, you couldn't find him now in the grace. I doubt you'll find him in the judgment. Amen. So I say, repent of your sins and repent and turn your hearts unto the Lord and start walking in the Spirit of God and being led by the Spirit of God. Amen. Let's give him a hand. Amen. Let me go on just for a moment more. It said, beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we see by faith. What shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. You got to have this hope in you to be pure. Amen. As he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Amen. Jesus folded the law up, brethren. It's recorded in the word, and put it away. Amen. Sin was done away with. The law is what made sin alive, brethren. Amen. So he done away with that law. Amen. That's why you that are born of God cannot sin. Amen. Because the law was done away with. The law of sin and death. Amen. If whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of law. And you know that he was, Jesus Christ, manifested to take away our sins. Do you believe that he was manifested to do that? Did he do it? Yes or no? He done it. Okay? And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Is anybody in him? He said in the scriptures, I can take you over to John and read it. He said that he was talking about the Father was in him and he within the Father. And then he went on and he said that I'm in you and you in me. And in him is no sin. That's why I have no sin, because I'm predestined in him. Amen. It isn't because of my works and my righteousness. It's because of his righteousness. Amen. Okay, let's go on here. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Okay, so we've come to establish the fact that if we're born of God, we're abiding in him, correct? Correct? Amen. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. If you don't know him, you're lost. So if you say you're born again, you got to say, I know him. Amen. And you can't say that you haven't seen him, because then you would be considered blind. Amen. And we know when good comes, and we know how to find the body of Christ, and we see good when good comes. We see the many-membered body, and we pass from death line because we love our brethren, because we know they're the body of the Lord. Amen? Little children, let no Baptist preacher, let no Pentecostal preacher, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteous is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Now, how many of you are going to have this profession that you're a sinner and sin every day? If you are, you're of your father, the devil. Now, you can't have two fathers in this spiritual realm. You're going to be of one or the other, the Bible says. You can't serve two masters. I choose to serve Christ. Amen. Amen. He that committeth sin is of the devil. So if you're of the devil, you're on your way to hell. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God. For this purpose, because of sin, okay, for that purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. What's the works of the devil? Sin. And sin is the sting of death. Okay, so let's go on. Whosoever, I'm a whosoever. Any whosoever is in here. Somebody say, I'm a whosoever. Hallelujah. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, I've taught you the water seed, the blood seed, and the spirit seed. In my first birth, I came from the blood seed, the semen of man, went into the womb of my mother, and reproduced after my father's kind. I'm ugly and ignorant, just like my dad. Mean and all kinds of problems, amen. But that's my first birth. Oh, I love my natural father. I'm taught in the Word of God to have reverence and obedience to my father and to love my father. I do love my father, but I recognize the attributes of my first birth is death and wretchedness. Oh, wretched man that I am. I inherited the iniquities and the sins through the bloodline of a fallen man. But praise be to the Lord Jesus Christ that took and went to Calvary and abolished death and took away sin, amen, and put my name down in the book of life, amen. So I'm born of him. I'm not speaking now of the first birth of the corruption of sin, and I was born and shapen in sin, appointed to go back to the dust. I'm speaking now by the born-again experience, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his labors and works, that I am a new creature in Christ, and I've been born again, and I passed from death unto life. I'm eternal in the heavens, amen. I'm hid away in Christ. I'm sealed in with him. Nothing could be laid to my charge, amen. And the reason I passed from death unto life, because sin was done away with, and I cannot sin. Amen. Because that seed from the spiritual realm lives and dwells within me and brought forth the heir to the throne of God. The woman saved in childbearing, and he repented that he made man, showing the feminine, but then yet he saved for childbearing, and I stayed in this earth under the grace and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I was that woman that was seen in the second heaven in travail to bring forth the child, and the red dragon of my first birth of the blood life was there to devour the child as soon as it was born, amen. But then that child was caught up into heaven. I was translated into the marvelous kingdom of God, hid away in Christ, sealed in, and nothing could touch me, and nothing could get near me. I'm eternal in the heavens, hallelujah. I'm living forever and ever and ever, and I cannot die or I cannot sin, hallelujah. Praise be to God, hallelujah. I feel the quickening of that spirit of life, amen, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteous is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to go over to another passage of scripture. A couple more minutes. Hallelujah. Brother Chuck, you can put up here on the board, Brother Billy, John 10:34. Amen. Man, I enjoy preaching the gospel. It's okay to enjoy what you do, isn't it? When I was in the world and flew airplanes, I loved it. But I'll tell you what, there ain't nothing like talking about the wonderful things of life. Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 31, John 10. Let's read down here. This is a very common passage of scriptures to us again. It says, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. Some think I probably blaspheme tonight. And because that thou being a man maketh thyself God. Amen? Brethren, it wouldn't be a true resurrection unless that flesh went through to the metamorphosis. So a true resurrection, but it isn't the same flesh. It said buried in mortality, raised in immortality. Buried celestial, raised terrestrial, buried terrestrial, raised celestial. Okay? So there's a change takes place there. It isn't this flesh, brethren. God in the original creation before the fall in the garden, that flesh man was created to be eternal. But they partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Amen? And that's where the problem come in. It says, so the Jews answered him, saying, for good works we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because thou, being a man, makest thyself to be God. Now here's the reply from, now I think you know the Bible said, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus, amen. God with us, amen. So we know he's God, right? He said when he spoke to him, he said, I was before Abraham, and they wanted to kill him right then. Amen. He said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. Amen. The beginning and the end. He was the Prince of Life. Amen. We know who he is. Well, he's the Son of God. I said, that's what you've seen him manifest as. But when he was there, I could take you right back here. He said, I and the Father are one. The Father's within me and I'm within the Father. If you don't know me, you don't know the Father. Amen. Come on now. So it's here it is. We're riding the trail again. We're the sons of God. Brethren, we're here to bring good news. He gave us the power to bless and to curse. Why did he, last commission he gave us? He said, go ye into all the world, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. We know the name, it's Jesus. And every one of the apostles went out and they baptized them in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. He gave us the power to remit sin in his name. He said, there's no other name given among men that thou shalt be saved. If you've been taken down to the water hole and baptized in the name Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you're Catholic, you've been lied to. Amen. And you're going to perish. Amen. There's only one name given among men that thou shalt be saved. It's Jesus Christ. Amen. And when they baptize them there in the book of Acts, you'll see that they've done it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So that's what you must do. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I said, ye. Who's a ye? If he was talking to me, ye. Amen. Our sons of God. Amen. Or ye are gods. Okay, I'm born of God. Amen. Brother Pike, you say it like this. A goat brings a goat. Is that right? Dog brings a dog. An elephant, a monkey. An ugly sucker. Ed says, why was you looking at me when you said that? I was looking in the mirror. Come on, man. So if it's appointed unto man to die, according to the word, I could look that scripture up for you, but if it's appointed unto man to die, and a man's going to go back to the dust, then you better come out a man. You were a man in your first birth, but in your born-again experience, Jesus right here, you read it right here in John 10:34, he said, but I said, ye are gods. I said, ye are gods. Okay? Ye are gods. So in other words, gods are eternal. And if you're going to live forever, you better know that this inward man, this new creature, amen, that the world doesn't see, but that we see because we have eyes to see, that we know that we are gods because we're born of God. And the Bible said you must be born again. You must be born again to have life and eternal life. Your life as a man is temporal life because it's seen. But the life in the spirit is born of God, and the things that are unseen are eternal. Amen. We walk by faith. The faith is the invisible things. The thing is, brethren, that you're going to have faith today to know that you are a God, that you are born of God, that you're the creation of God, that he had your name in the book of life before the world ever was. He saved you when you were still yet in your sins, and that's all done by faith. And when he appears, you're going to appear just like him. But if you don't have faith today to know that you are a God, if you don't have faith today to know that you're hid away in the heavens, if you don't have faith today to know that you pass from death unto life, you think that he's just going to change you and transfigure you in the moment, the twinkling of an eye. It will never happen. You have to first transform your mind into the mind of Jesus Christ through the word, by the washing and regeneration of the word. And if you don't profess this word and speak this word into this proper time and day and hour as now, then you will perish in your unbelief, amen. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. Now we are eternal in the heavens. We cannot sin Amen. We're more than conquerors. Conquerors conquer, but we're more than conquerors. Amen. Because the last enemy of God is death. And in this time, in this day, death is the carnal mind, savoring the things of this world and of the flesh, of your pride and of your intellect and of your life and of your ministry and your ambitions. And you're dead and twice dead, plucked up by the roots, and you don't know good when good comes. So get born again. Come into the peace that surpasses all understanding. Walk in the rest of God and know that you're nothing and you've never been nothing, but He made you everything. Amen. Not by your good works, but by His works, by His labors, by His goodness, by His righteousness. Amen. And then all of a sudden you find the peace. Amen. And you get out of the struggle of head knowledge, the struggle of competition, the struggle of those things, and you're in the rest. And all you want to do is just love people and help them in any way you can. Why, they turn and rend you, and they smite you, and when they speak all matter of evil against you, and they get into the politics of religion, and he ain't no good, and he ain't no good. Brethren, I don't expose the darkness of the false doctrines of the sons of perdition out here and of those things to make me better. I expose them because you spend too much time fellowshipping in their word and their mind and their doctrines, and two can't walk together lest they be in agreement. And when I see you in agreement with doctrines of devils and sin, amen, I got to expose it. You get hurt. You get mad. You think I'm slandering somebody you love. But I've done seen the works of darkness and the works of Satan. And I know that when it puffs a man up and elevates a man up, he's into one thing. He's going to be found without the wedding garment on. And he will be bound hand and foot and cast into the lake of fire. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, Brother Chuck, put a Hosea 4:6 up here on my Bible just for a moment. I got a couple more scriptures. Amen. The brethren are going to be tuned in with us via FM radio again for about another 10 minutes here. So we'll make sure we pump as much doctrine as we can. Amen. We're going to put it in. I remember when I go preach, they give me 30 minutes of radio station. I'd be watching that clock, man. And we utilized every second. Amen. Trying to get the word of God into people. Amen. I tell you, there's some wonderful fruit and some wonderful things happening. There at the Washington prison, there's several want to be added to the mailing list. And I told them, I said, share with them for a while. Just share with the ones, pass your stuff around and things, share with one another, and then we'll add them to the list. But I think we've got 16 right now just in Washington alone that are communicating and calling. And then we got more than that that have been trying to tune in with us live. That's the work of the Lord. Amen. Brother Durrell said in here, come forth from the fruit of the labors of men of God, brethren in the Lord, sons of God, there at Washington, bringing the good news of the gospel. Brethren, this ain't the only church that's preaching this, but they're hard to find. You say, where's another one? I don't know. But I tell you, I know I'm small in God, but I'll tell you, brethren, I'm looking for ministers out there that I could fellowship with in the Spirit. I'm not haughty. I'm not puffed up. No, you didn't hear that I think I'm the only one right. But I know what's right, and it's Him. And when you have His Spirit, we will find fellowship in the Spirit. You may not have been indoctrinated in the same traditions of elders that I have, but I'll see the Spirit of truth in you, and I'll be seeing something drawing and hungering, and we'll find unity in the Spirit. We'll find fellowship in the Spirit. We won't be banging each other heads, and you surely aren't going to try to persuade me through your overconfident arrogance of who you think you are, and you're not going to move me. Amen. I got a call from another minister today. Amen. It's been dealing with some of the same things that I've been dealing with in the prisons, and shared some things, and the Bible said let it be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Amen. And lo and behold, I haven't spoke with this man for probably a year and a half, and brings forth some of the same identical reports of some of the things I've been observing in the Spirit and trying to show love and mercy and compassion. Amen. Because as I've said, many of the Spirit that I've seen bring down some great, powerful men of God that sat under Brother George L. Pike for years of faithfulness, 20 years sitting under this man of God of faithfulness. So how about one that stumbled around and staggered in and out every once in a while? Just come around occasionally and then think that they have got the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. And they stumble and stagger and smite and teach people to deceive. Come on, brethren. Let's get real with God. Amen. Hallelujah. There's been a couple trees yanked out, rooted up. Amen. And the thing is you would never believe the revelation of Jesus Christ, but I watch it by the mind of Christ. And I could start sharing stories of people that came right here and sat amongst us and turned and rended us, man, and lied against the truth and went back to doctrines. Just buried one here not too many days back. And her husband, they both seemed to be okay when they left here. Younger than me, both of them. And they're one's laying in the balances of death, eat up with cancer. And the other one just took and slipped away. Amen. You say you think God might have shortened the sister's numbers of days. Who are you to find fault with God if he put her in hell? Surely I won't. And I surely won't find fault if he brings her in. Because if he brings her in, amen, it just shows his mercy and his love and he'll bring me in. You say those things to scare us? Absolutely not. I lead by love, not by fear. But I'd never cursed one, brother. I never cursed one, even though he gave me the authority to do that. And he said, woe unto them to hold the sword back from blood. I brought the sword tonight. But I never curse nobody. You choose you this day and whom you're going to serve. But you keep following after your carnal self and your puffed up self. And the thing is when you're moved by flattery and somebody got to tell you, oh, you're great and you're this and that, you ain't a candidate, amen. I didn't choose a ministry because somebody said I was great. The first time I met Brother George, he rebuked me, amen. And I dropped my head thinking, my God, amen. He rebuked me. Amen. He saw something in there, evidently. He saw things I didn't see. Because after I sat under his preaching, I said, man, I'd just like to be a toilet cleaner around here. Forget the ministry. And I was happy with that. Come on, I mean that. Brethren, I'm not, that, I apologize, Sister Barbara. That's one of the greatest positions. Because let me tell you, me and a brother were bucketing 5 gallons of raw sewer out of my pastor's motorhome because we didn't want to disturb him or the rest. And we're out there dumping raw sewer and carrying in 5 gallon buckets. And raw sewage out of a motorhome isn't pleasant. And me and him were rejoicing in the Lord, saying, you know what? Nobody wanted to do this job, brother, but you and I chose to do this. You know what? There's rewards for that in the kingdom of God. Amen. We are numbered with the widow that gave the 2 mites. To you, you're thinking, what a low life job. It was the most pleasurable, greatest job that I'd done the whole time. I could talk about putting the red acrylic up there in the Father's house, what it had to do with the blood coming off the mercy seat. I could talk about working on many things around that place, but I stand before you. This day, the greatest honor I had was taking and carrying raw sewage from a motorhome, and I mean that, thus saith the Lord, because nobody else wanted to do it. I like the humble things, amen, in Lord, and when you show that, he'll raise you up and do some. Let's give him a hand. Hallelujah. Okay, here we are. We've turned over to Hosea. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, and I will also forget thy children. Brethren, the things that I'm teaching here tonight are the laws of God. He said he'll put his laws in our heart. Amen. Come on, brethren. You say the law is done away. Well, there's another law that's even greater than the law that Moses found to put on stone come off the mountain. The law that he engraved in our hearts, brethren. And it is much tougher than the law that Moses was in. But it isn't tough because we come to it by grace and mercy and compassion of a living God. Amen. But let him fill you with his spirit. Fill you with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And then you could walk in the power of a sound mind. Let's read on down just for a moment. We're fixing to close here right directly. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. That's why women cut their hair off, my friend. It's the glory of the Lord. And when they cut it off, it's showing the shame. Amen. So if you come to the revelation, that's exactly what that you would want to do. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on the iniquity. And there shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for the ways and reward them of their doing. For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredom has caused them to err. The spirit of whoredom, church hopping, jumping church to church, calling this pastor for counsel, calling this pastor for counsel, calling this minister for counsel. You're a whore is what you are. Thus saith the Lord, you're a filthy, wretched, perverted Jezebel harlot and need to get born again. Amen. You need to learn to submit yourself to the ministry of Christ. Amen. To a man of God founded and sound in the spirit of revelation of God. I know I speak tough, brethren, but I see so many people perishing. Our churches of America have sold out to adultery and fornication. They're putting preachers in behind this sacred desk in what they call pulpits. They changed the name to pulpit for they could pull people into the pit of hell. Amen. But this is a sacred desk and only godly and holy things should be going forth. We don't need rock and roll in our churches. We don't need the pretty boys on our platform with their long hair. We don't need the pretty women in their tight form-fitting clothes shaking themselves. We are a godly people, a holy people, a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, brethren. We've been filled with the spirit of holiness and godliness and righteousness. Amen. Let's take our place and walk in the counsel and the authority of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'd like to read on there a little bit, but we are closing. First Peter, to be the last verse that we'll read. 1 Peter, 2nd chapter, the 9th verse. Amen. And I just quoted it just now, but I want you to see it. Amen. Because right there in Hosea, it was talking about we departed the priesthood. They men turned into whores. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. When you look like the world, you're not peculiar. We're supposed to be peculiar to these people. We're not supposed to look like Hollywood. Don't look in the fashion magazine, sisters, to find out what you want to look like. You don't want to paint yourself up and look like them. You don't want to look like that. This preacher don't understand me. He said, I don't believe you allow your sisters to trim your hair, but you won't let them wear high heels. High heels are provocative. High heels are fleshly. They're flashy. They make the women walk funny. The thing is, my God, my Savior, He wrote down in Proverbs, He said He hated the mincing of feet. Talking about the woman with the mincing of her feet. What does that mean? A runway model. They shake and they swing and they walk. God said He hates that. Amen. So why would we want to make our women provocative and put high heels on them? Why would we want to put tight-fitting clothing on them? When a man look upon a woman and lust after, he committeth adultery. Why would a woman, that's supposed to be a virtuous woman, walking in the counsel of God and serving the Lord, why would she want to dress herself up like a Hollywood Jezebel to make men lust after him to endanger their soul of hell? It don't make sense, brethren. The Bible teaches about the women to dress in modest apparel. Amen. To be shamefaced. Don't project yourself. Don't project your image. The broadening and the plaiting of hair means the folding and all the stuff. The apostolics find fault with me because we allow the women to trim their hair. I say, don't cut it below the up above the shoulders. Keep it long. It's the glory of the Lord. But we could trim it and they find fault with me and they fold it up and stick pins in it. That's against the Bible. Don't you see? It said the broadening of hair, the plaiting of hair, the folding of hair. And they do that. And they want to find fault with me. Amen. I say, why don't you conform to my doctrine instead of holding me to yours? I said, brother, I took my rings off 2 years ago. My conviction is a man should wear a wedding ring. Amen. For people can see that he's a married man. He's been chosen. But no, we take them off because it's like eating meat to them. And we don't trim our hair. Or we backed off on cutting bangs and some things to make a point. Doing away with jewelry. I didn't like jewelry in the first place. When you get these necklaces on, it's fleshly. Projecting yourself with your bright gold watches and the diamond bezels and all the rings. It's flashy. I never liked that. Some of you here have taken too much in going to too much jewelry, and you've reproached me and reproached the Word of God. Amen. The thing is you, yes, you can wear a wedding ring to say who you are. I took mine off because I found myself under the guns of critical eyes. And I got to submit to that because if it offends them, I don't need to do it. But I said, brother, why can't you conform to some things that concern me? You allow the dresses just to below the knee. Come on now. They allow the dresses just at knee height. And they think it's okay. The Branhamites, they like it just below the knee. Mid-calf, so to speak. My pastor said that was offensive. He said, nip it at the bud. If I say mid-calf, they'll put it at the knees. And then I'll have mini skirts. He said, run it to the ankle. That was the tradition of the elders. And I'm going to submit to it and walk in it. And I agree with it. Amen. I'm not going to put you in hell because of it. But I say if you're going to work with me and you're going to walk with me and you're going to help me carry the gospel of Jesus Christ into the world, amen, then if you're going to be on my platform, conform. Amen? Amen? I never liked jewelry. I never liked paint. I seen a woman the other day still spinning this holiness message all of her life with her fingernails growing out about that far, about that far. That's a reproach! I don't like it. You know, brethren, we're godly people, holy people, amen. We take baths and we're clean. Our hair's clean. We don't smell. We go out here and work, and maybe we all smell like a bunch of pigs when we get done at work. Okay, I know what that is. I know what my wife says to get in there and get you a bath, man, and get the clothes and the dirty clothes. Come on, we're all men. We know what it does. But a woman shouldn't stink and her hair shouldn't be dirty, or a man. Amen? Come on, brethren. Well, it's going to be late for church. Well, be late. That's a less of a reproach than the stench. Come on, man. Brethren, I'm just talking real, man. You know, you say, well, I don't think that's necessary. Hey, let me tell you what's necessary. We're all supposed to be soul winners. My calling is to perfect people to win souls. And how can somebody tell you about Jesus when your nose is trying to close up like a hippo going underwater? Huh? Man, God didn't give me that ability, but sometimes I wished I had it. Like, hey, brother, how you doing? What's going on? Oh, I'm trying to keep from sneezing. When we was in Africa, my wife said, I wanted to get a peppermint stick and drive it right through my nose. Man, I'll tell you what, some of them folks didn't have the bathing facilities we had. That wasn't a racial statement. I apologize, but I'm telling you, there were some right people. But we do the same thing in Mexico. We've done the same thing in Romania. Some of those, man, when you're poor and you can't get to a water hole, I'll suffer. But when you got you hot water and a shower in your house and you're too lazy to take a bath and wash your hair, you're a reproach to the kingdom of God. Okay, man, that was side note B. And let's go on to C. Amen. You love the Lord? Amen. Who are you talking to? All flesh. Flesh is corruptible, brethren. Flesh stinks. That's what the Bible teaches us. It says a stench in the nostrils. Amen. Amen. Come on. Flesh has got to be taken care of and pampered on a daily basis, or it's going to smell. Come on, man. I could scrub it up and put a little stuff on there, some little deodorant on there. Boy, and do all that and go out here and work a little bit, and it stinks. So I got to do something about it. Come on now. Amen. I had a man come to church one time, and he come to my home. And he said, you know, brethren, he said, we're having troubles over at church, at Christian Temple. We don't feel the love of God. And I said, well, I'm sorry you feel that way. He said, well, you know, that's the way we feel. And I said, well, okay, well, now you just indicted my brotherhood, and there's the love of God in this church. I've had so many testimonies from people and visitors and strangers from Formville that really find the love of God in here, in this church. And the thing is, I said, brother, you've indicted the entire church. I said, the problem is, I don't know how to tell you this any other way. I'm just kind of plain spoken. I said, the problem is, my friend, I love you, but you stink. I said, you don't smell good. And I said, that's why I asked you to come out on my back deck and didn't invite you into my house. So I said, last time I invited you to my house, you sat on my couch and I smelled you for 2 days. I'm not kidding, brethren. That's a reproach. You see, that's a pastor's job. You may not think so, but it is. Because I'm supposed to perfect people for the winning of souls. And when you smell so offensively, how could you share about the love of God and Jesus Christ with somebody when you stink so bad? Come on, saints of God. That was love. He indicted the whole brotherhood. And I said, the problem is you smell. People don't like to bring smelly things into their homes. Smile, brethren. Come on. Boy, Brother Rob, you're just too tough. Hey, let's fix things.
I offered, man, I wasn't down at that. I said, look, if you have a financial problem, I'll buy the soap and the shampoo. I'll send Brother John over to scrub you.
No. No, I didn't say that. But I did offer to buy them things. And they made excuses. They did. They said, well, you know, this and that. But see, if that was a one-time thing, if I reproved a family like that, if it was just a one-time deal, brethren, but it was a continual deal. Day after day, night after night, church service after church service, come in the door and offensive. When a sister wants to hug my wife and she wants to get home and steam clean afterwards, I'm sorry to say. Come on, I'm not trying to be funny, but I'm just giving you an expression you can understand. And she loves people. But when a sister smells so bad that when they hug you that you could take their DNA home with you, up your nose, come on now. You say, why do you say things like this? Because I'm a preacher. The Bible said if a man don't work, he don't eat. So I got to teach a man to work. I got to have enough love for a man. Say, brother, you need to get to work. You need to hold a job. You're reproaching the kingdom of God and you're reproaching Christian Temple Church because you're a lazy sluggard. The folding of your hands. The Bible says you're worse than an unbeliever. So if a man is worse than an unbeliever, it's my obligation to get the offense off of him, for he can do something for God. You understand what I'm saying? But what happens, I've done teaching in this church about the way the nasal passages work. And the one that stinks, the only one that doesn't know that they stink is the individual, because it plugs up in their glands and they don't smell themselves. You that got cat boxes in your house, I'm sorry. Everybody knows I don't like cats, but if you want a cat, so be it. But what happens is the stench of your cat box, oh, but I change it. I change it, brother, all the time. My wife scrubs and washes. Your house smells like a litter box. Smells like a zoo. Sorry. You say, brother, you're meddling. I'm trying to get the fence off you for you could win souls. Amen. You don't smell the litter box because you've been around it so long, and science has proved that when you're around the odor, it locks in and you could leave it for days and come back and it will not smell it. Do you think a man that smokes, you think when he walks in, oh, I smell like tobacco. He don't smell it. But when they come into my presence, man, it's like light bulbs going off. Anybody lick an ashtray before? Come on, man. It ain't pleasant. It's nasty. But when you slip around and you smoke, you're going to smell like smoke. Amen. But you know, a smoker doesn't smell. You go into their home, they don't smell it. They don't walk in and go, wow, honey, I smoked 2 cartons in here last month. They don't say that. They don't smell it. They don't smell it on their clothes. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You don't smell your BO sometimes. You got used to it. I love you. You say, who are you talking to? Me. I got to go take a bath. I took one right before I come. You know? Sometimes we have to do that little test. Hey, look at the stars. Look at that airplane go by. Yeah, I'm okay. Amen. No, I could be a little funny with you. But no, brother, come on, man. You know, Brother Pike and Brother David Paul's son was writing an article for ministers. And they asked some of us to help write for a thing. And let me tell you what I wrote about. I was dealing with a minister during camp meeting. I love him, dear brother, dear friend. But I almost got slain in the spirit. I thought I was going to drop on the floor. It was a real powerful, I should let Brother Chuck express this part. But Brother Chuck had a guy come up behind him. He was on the computer. He's working out here. He says, somebody needs a breath, man. Hey man, we drink coffee stuff. We all get bad breath, brother. And I know I've probably offended many. God help me. I try to carry things with me. But this was a physical problem. Sometimes men need deep cleaning. They get pyorrhea and things, and it could be very nasty. It could be very offensive and very rough. They won't smell it. So I'm not trying to insult nobody, but I, by the love of God, have to do something. Amen? And this is the way Brother Rob is. I'll say, brother, I'd like to pay for some dental hygiene to go to a dentist. Sometimes it costs several $100s. But that's what I would like to do. Amen? So the thing is what are you saying, Brother Rob? Well, see, a man could be under the anointing of God and go to pray for somebody in the altars, and the sister that he's praying for or the brother that he's praying for, his knees are folding, but it isn't the anointing.
And it's hard to receive, brethren. I'm trying to repair here. I speak common, brethren, common sense. I'm not trying to be ugly here. But these are things, and when they asked me to write this article, these are the things that I mentioned. I said, you know, some of you preachers need to learn to trim the hair in your ears. I'm having troubles hearing what you're saying in the mind of the Lord, brother, because you got a bush growing out of your ears. Now, see, you think I got a problem, but I'm thinking like you think, and you're laughing. And sometimes it could be the breath. Or, you know, brother, we don't wear mustaches, but your hair nostrils are long enough that you could do a Uncle Sam Fu Manchu or whatever you call it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Come on, you guys are not supposed to be doing this. Work with me a moment. Come on, brethren, seriously. This is the things I was putting in an article. You know, I deal with these things. I mean, to tell you, if my hair would grow on my head as fast as it does in my nose, man, I could be a hippie in 3 days. You've heard of a comb over before? I don't think it's supposed to be combing the hair growing out of your ears over the top of your head. Amen. All right, this is not a comedy show, brethren. I'm talking real to you. Come on. It could be a little comical because you don't want to deal with it, but you're men. The very most beautiful woman in here, the one that's probably the cleanest and takes care of themselves. They floss, they clean, they do everything. You know, they have to do those things for a purpose and a reason. Amen. We have to wash. I'm not talking like I'm set apart from this, brother, and I could be very offensive. I thank God my wife lets me know. But it's usually not in the morning when I'm going to work. It's usually when I'm coming in from work. I had a man one time go to work with me, and I told him, I said, brother, it's okay to smell this way at night on the way home, but it's not fitting to work and go to work that way in the morning. Amen. I've seen a man working all day in asphalt, putting down 300 or 400 degree asphalt on the ground, and it was 95 degrees or 100 outside. And man, Brother Johnson's been in some of that work. Brother Randy, some of you here. And Brother Ed, that's some of the nastiest, hottest, nastiest work. Amen. My wife wouldn't even wash the clothes sometimes. They went to the trash. I'm telling you, it's nasty. And we dropped a man off one night at about dark and picked him up at the next morning. He walked out in the very same clothes. I think he slept in them. What do you call that, Brother Rob? Nasty. N, capital A, capital S-T-Y. Nasty. That's man. They're beast. Amen? So you say, why do you say these things, Brother Rob? Because I'm a soul winner and I'm teaching you to be soul winners with me. Amen? This goes out. I'm talking to men in prison right now. I'm talking to men in homes right now. You understand that? It's every single man. All men's hearts are fashioned alike. Amen? If anybody needs me to pay their hot water bill, no, I'm kidding. No, I love y'all. All right, we got into some meddling there. I'm sorry. But no, I'm not sorry. I'm love you and I'm talking to you. I am not apologizing for that. This is the love of God and this is the office and the calling of a pastor right here. You want pastors to tick ears and tell you all those things? Okay, when God gives me nostrils like a rhinoceros or a hippopotamus that I could close them off at will, then I will quit preaching like this. Amen? Somebody say, oh me. No. All right. I should get Stephanie and Irene up here to share the story, man. We were doing a job up here in town, and stand with me for you know I'm closing, the musicians come up. We're doing a job up here in the north side of town, and this guy came in to the job. Air conditioner was on, the house was comfortable, we're working inside. This guy came in, and all of a sudden my wife and my daughter, Stephanie, man, I'll tell you what, it looked like cockroaches, man, when the light came on. Boy, they're gone. I thought, my gosh. And then all of a sudden, I did. God gave me hippo nose. I mean, it's trying to close, man. It was the roughest thing I've ever seen. I didn't think a human being could get that ripe. And it's like I'm trying to talk to him, and we're standing in this job. My wife and them left, and I said, hey, let's go outside. We go outside, And you know, he keeps wanting to get close to me, man. And we're doing a square dance out there because I keep backing up. I had never seen a human being that rough or that nasty. And he was as comfortable and thing. He didn't bother him a bit. And then I was worried about the homeowners coming home. I mean to tell you, you could have drank a case of beer in there and smoked a bag of weed, and it would have been less offensive of an odor that was left in that house. Man, we opened up the windows in the summertime, and these people had their house all cooled off, windows and doors and fan, and it was the roughest thing I've ever seen. Do you remember them? Do you remember that? Okay, we're done with that story. I ruined a good message. I'm glad we have the power of editing, because we'll probably edit out the last part of this. No, I'll leave it in there. Amen. I love y'all. Thank you for the time tonight. I'm still not apologizing, though I'm hard-headed. This is the ministry of perfection. And the thing is good isn't good enough when better's expected. Amen. Y'all love the Lord? Amen. I could share some stories with you, as I just did one that probably was a little grotesque. You need to get transfigured, man. That's the only stop to it. But until the day of transfiguration, to your sweet-smelling savor before the Lord, get some soap, some deodorant. Amen. And don't try to cover up your BO with cologne. That's even worse. Because now your nose is in a warfare. It's like, oh, I smell jasmine, whatever that is. And then all of a sudden it goes, oh, God, there's something else snuck in the door with it. That's pretty rough, man. Yeah. Now your nose is in a travail. Okay, that's enough said. Amen. Y'all love me. I hope you still love me. All right, let's worship the Lord and we'll close and go home. That must have been outer man and inner man revelation right there. Amen.
Not all right. My brother nor my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in need of
perfect song, Brother Ed.
But it's me, oh Lord, standing in need of prayer. It's not my brother,
it's not my brother nor my sister, but it's the pastor, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Amen.
It's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. Not my mother, my sister, but it's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, nor my sister, but it's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, nor my sister, but it's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for giving me adequate time. I believe that we tried to lay down a good continuity of some foundational revelational truths. Amen. And brethren, I'm saddened to say that the things that you heard tonight are something that is needed throughout the world. We have a responsibility, saints of God. But the things that you heard tonight are the very things that people find fault with us about. They separate from us for these things. They preach doctrines against us. They call my pastor a cult. They call me a cult. They call you a cult. Amen. So brethren, we have to get indoctrinated and learn. We got to walk in the Spirit. We got to teach. Take advantage when you're working with people. You take advantage of the time and you teach. You preach. You minister. And you say, well, Brother Rob, you're the minister. I'm the minister to ministers. And you're a minister. And you minister. You guys need to be talking doctrine. We see eye to eye. We don't pierce each other through. We don't break ranks. When I'm saying that we minister to one another out there, you don't set destiny of men in this work. You don't go to a man and say, brother, you should be out there doing thus, thus, and thus. You work through the headship of the ministry, but help the pastor do what he does by perfecting the saints, for they could be used for the glory of God. Sometimes when people are around the pastor, they carry one kind of way about them, and they get away from them, they're totally different. That's called hypocrisy. Brother, I know what that is. I've been there. Amen. Boy, when Brother Pike would come in the room, a lot of us would do some tightening up. Amen. We'd get tight real quick. Amen. And that's okay. But brethren, we got to make sure that we're walking in the fellowship of the Spirit of the living God. Let's sing a song or two, saints of God.
Lord God, refuse me. Surely there's a life that I can do.
Sure it is.
Sometimes it gets so bad I can call the mom. Even though I got dragged by feet.
Does it feel like, what's it called? I dealt with it here a few months ago. It's like plant something. You know what I'm talking about? Come up here. Yeah. She dealt with it too. Well, let me ask. What was that thing when still with my feet? You had it was plantar fasciitis. Have you heard of that? Because, you know, there are some things that my daughter dealt with that, Kimberly. And she dealt with it and was really bad. And she got to quit. She was, you know, doing the running and stuff. And she had to quit for a while. And she read an article and done some exercises. We're going to pray. I prayed for mine. And I also did some exercising. You know where I give the glory? Prayer. I like to put action with prayer. And you might consider that there was some... I'll have Irene and talk to you about it because she talked to him and told me some things to do. And I did this about 2 years ago, man. It got so bad I was couldn't hardly walk when we were building these fences. Amen. It hurt bad, terribly bad. Are you wearing pretty good shoes on these school floors and stuff? No. I'm going to buy your wife a pair of shoes. Gosh. I'm going to, she come up here for prayer and I'm going to rebuke her in a second. So we're going to pray for this. Okay. And let's anoint her with oil. You know, brethren, I am of an individual that believes in the healing of the Lord, anointing with oil and praying. But let me tell you also at the same time, sometimes there's things that we could do. You know, it's like, I'm going to share this with you, but it was another minister. It wasn't me, but I've prayed this way. I've had people, but this minister had a individual come that was very overweight. Said, Pastor, I want you to pray for me. My knees hurt. My ankles hurt. My back hurts. And he said, Sister, you're a two-wheeler, but you're carrying the load of an 18-wheeler. He said, you look at an 18-wheeler out here on the road, it's got 18 wheels on it to carry all the weight. He said, you ain't made to carry that weight. And he said, what you need to do is you need to change. You need to go on a diet. Now see, that's a man of God there. And you see, sometimes I'm fat because of disobedience. I know exactly what to do, Brother John, but I like to eat. Okay, maybe I should put a knife to my throat. Okay? And the thing is, I've dealt with the same thing this sister is. My daughter dealt with this. She doesn't have too much weight on her. I thought maybe it was because of my weight, but this is something that could happen to anybody. But there are some things that we could do for exercise that I come to find out, and it worked for my daughter. I did these things, and I prayed. It immediately went away. I dealt with it for weeks a couple years ago. I dealt with it for a couple weeks or so this time. So, you know, which one was it? I hope it was me applying works with faith. You know, I'm hungry, so, you know, Lord, I'm going to go to work. So he's going to meet my action of works, and he's going to supply the job. So he might meet action. But people find fault. Oh, sister comes in for prayer. I'm going to pray a prayer of faith, brother. And we're going to trust God to do so. But at the same time, sometimes as that preacher told this individual, hey, you need to get some weight off you. It ain't good for your health. It hurts your body. Hurts your joints. It hurts everything. Amen? So sometimes there's wisdom. John, when you get a chance, would you fill this bottle back up, please? Amen. I'm going to pray a prayer of faith because I believe the Lord touched me. And what she's talking about is very painful. And it does hurt. Amen. There have been times I was there with a brother and I thought, my goodness, man. It hurt terribly bad. Amen. But I pressed over and kept going. Amen.
Let's pray. Let me have your hands. Father, as I anoint this, my sister, with oil in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that there isn't anything. And Father, as I speak about one sin of disobedience, Father, I'm not speaking of a sin here of disobedience, Lord God. I know, Father, that sometimes there's things that we inherit in the body of flesh, Lord God. And Father, I rebuke this pain in the name of Jesus Christ that's in these feet. Lord God, if it's that plantar fasciitis, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And I know that you could take that thing away from her, Lord God. I ask you, Lord God, to help her. Touch this body, Father. Honor her labors and her works, Lord God. Father, as she has made these feet hurt, being busy about your service. Lord God, laboring in a school, Lord God. Not for finance, not for payroll, Lord God. But to help us to teach and to bring children and raise them up in the way they should go. And Father, as she travels with her husband, dragged from place to place, Lord, and running from place to place and running and going when her body hurt and tired and didn't feel like it, but submitted to her husband in love and to you in love, Lord God, and went and dealt with pain in her body to show herself. And Father, with that said, we're asking you right now to reach down in the name of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and touch his body and give it strength to continue on and go. Lord God, I thank you, Father. I thank you that you've heard our prayer, Lord God, and moving in the name of Jesus. Amen. I hope that didn't sound offensive when I said drag. I just picking up her thoughts sometimes. Come on, woman, you're going. Let's go. Go, are you? Expect a miracle, sister. Amen.
Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name.
Look at that little man.
Hey, little man.
What's up?
He's having problems with his tummy and constipation really bad.
Pretty comfortable now. Amen. Let's pray for this baby, saints of God. Amen. You know, as beautiful as a little baby like this is, sometimes the doctors, they start changing formulas, they start changing milk. Sometimes they tell mamas, take them off breast milk, change formulas and different things. Doctors are good, you know, but sometimes they don't always do what's best. Don't let them put them on soy milk, whatever you do. Please don't. Amen. Don't ever give a little baby boy soy milk. It doesn't do good for him. It puts too much feminine hormones in him. It really does. It's a proven scientific fact. And a lot of doctors prescribe soy milk to lactose-tolerant children. And they've proven that it puts a woman feminine hormone in a child. Boy, we're talking about a lot of things tonight, ain't we? Now, that's not why you're a queer. You're a queer because you got a devil on you. Amen. But the milk didn't help. Yeah. I'm sorry to talk that way, but really they think that it has led to a lot of problems in that. So he looks pretty comfy, don't he? Let's pray, saints of God. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that this little man is wonderfully made, Lord God. Father, I thank you that we have authority, Lord God, over any digestional issues and problems. And Father God, as we hold this baby, Father, in the name of my Lord and Savior Jesus, we speak, Lord God, that this little system function properly and accurately. Father God, and grant the wisdom to a mother, Lord God, of how to feed and the things to do, Lord God, without the intervention of the medical field, Father. But we're calling on our great physician that grants wisdom, revelation, and understanding, Lord God. And if there's any complication in this little body, Lord God, that you will repair it and fix it in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm just going to keep him for a minute. The benefits of being a pastor. Amen. Y'all love the Lord. Thank you again for adequate time. I know it's gotten late. Amen. You love him? Amen. Brother Emmanuel, if you'll dismiss us tonight. God bless you all.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.